Thank you. Thank you for having us. I brought notes, and I hope I don't cry through this. We've been serving out on the streets for 16 years. And Jesus said, go and make disciples of all men. And our motto is, we take it from the seats to the streets. Because Jesus, he's in the church, but he's out on the streets. He's sitting with the homeless people. He's sitting with the brokenhearted. And that's who we deal with. We're dealing with people that have had major trauma in their life. I remember giving a sermon on Mother's Day, and I said, you know, your parents did the best they could. This kid came up to me, a kid, probably 17 or 18. He goes, you don't know my mom. I said, I'm sorry, I don't, but I'm sure she did the best she could. He said, she sold me for a line of Coke. And I stand in there, and it's like, what do you say to that? And I just asked him if I could pray for him, and he let me pray for him. Or another friend of ours, Melinda, told me that when she was 5 years old and her sister was 7 years old, that her mom went out on the first date with this guy and they watched him murder her. You just can't imagine. I mean, the brokenness that we come in contact with. I lived in a bubble for a long time. I was in my bubble. Don't bother me. I'm comfortable here. It's all good here. But God called us out. He doesn't want us to be comfortable. He never wants us comfortable. He doesn't. You can sit back on your laurels, but you're going to account for it. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes now. Some of the people, you'll excuse me, please. The devil and his minions are all around us when we're serving. We serve in the ACLU parking lot, and there's a triangle parking lot next to us, and the drug dealers are right there. And I walk over there, and I'll look at them. I go, what are you guys doing? I'm telling you, the power of God, I have stared down some guys that are this tall looking at me, ready to take me out. And Lori can tell you that he's ready to take me out, and I'm just daring him because the Spirit of God is in us. And we take him with us wherever we go. Things that we've done for people. I wanted to share some of the things we've done for people. Anybody in here had a colonoscopy? Okay, you know the prep work for that, right? Imagine being homeless, living in a tent. Where are you going to prep for that? It's awful. And that's one of the things we did. We got a friend of ours a motel room for a couple of days so he could prep for it and have a place to rest. We've given motel rooms for women that was being abused by their husbands, their boyfriends, and their son. We had a lady that her son was abusing her, and she came down and she called me and she said, I need help. So we got her a motel room. We've donated for funerals. We bought flowers for funerals. We bought bus tickets for folks to get home, bus passes. We paid rent for friends that were working until they got their first check. We've given vehicles to friends that are working, hospital visits, hospice visits, jail visits. I've been to court on people's behalf, driven in several places that were like 2 hours away to speak on somebody's behalf. Transportation to and from chemo, rides to the airport. When folks get back on their feet and they're doing good, they'll come down and let us know because we're a family. And because they know we love and care for them. You know when somebody loves you, you know that you can say anything to them. And they'll come back and they were on that side of the table getting served. Now they're coming back to serve with us. That's fruit. That's Jesus. That's nothing with me. It's nothing with Lori. It's all Jesus. We had a guy under Davidson Street Bridge. I'm sorry. Davidson Street Bridge, Will, lived in a tent. He got a Social Security check. And he came up to me one day and he said, I want to donate some money to meet me under the bridge. I go, Will, you need to keep that. He said, aren't we supposed to tithe to our church? He said, this is my church. And when she talked about Richard, I went to his funeral. And the pastor up there said, Richard would come here first, but he always went down to meet me under the bridge second. And he'd take two or three buses to get there. Richard had 1.5 legs, and he was restricted to a wheelchair. But he told them at his first church, he goes, "That's my church." But I think that's what we are. We're the church out there with broken, truly broken people. I mean, we'll serve from 20 up to 150 people. We pray for a building for 10 years close to where we serve at. We're on the east side of Indianapolis. We're in, that's hell. That is hell. We got a building 3 years ago, praise God. It belonged to a dear friend of mine, Mr. Jeter. And he did outreach as well. And I called his wife to give her my condolences. And she goes, "Sis, I can't run the business. I got to sell the building." And I waited about 3 days, and I said, "You know, how much are you wanting for it?" She goes, $60,000. I said, "Well, we're interested." And God worked it all out. Yeah. And what we have there, we have two showers. We have a laundry facility. We've got a supply room with emergency type things, coats, blankets, socks, underwear, shirts, pants, things like that. 2 days a week, I go down to the river and pick up some of the guys that want to come to the building. And they do their laundry. They'll take a shower, and then I make a big breakfast, sometimes brunch, but mostly breakfast. And we sit around a big table, and we eat, and we fellowship. That's family. That's family. And like he said, Matthew 25, that's a good one. So we'd been serving, I don't know, probably about 10 years, and I was talking to River John. He lives down on the river, and I was talking to him about my brother that was struck by lightning when he was in high school. And another guy that we'd been serving for a while overheard us, and he came up, and he goes, "I knew a guy in high school that got struck by lightning." And I go, "What was his name?" He said, "Jerry Albright." And I went, "There for the grace of God. This guy went to high school with my brother. We'd been serving him. He'd been homeless, and he was a veteran." Think about that. You just don't know who you're serving. Another time underneath Davidson Street Bridge, I heard a voice go, "Kathy." And I knew that voice. I turn around and go, "Katie, what are you doing here?" She goes, "Oh, I don't live here. I'm down here visiting my boyfriend." She was living down there. I've known her since she was an infant. My friends adopted her and her brother. And it's like, you don't know. That's somebody's child out there. There was 3 days last week that I saw like five people just nodding out from smoking Katie. Just one guy standing there like this looking at his bag. Lori and I were at the jungle one time, which was a homeless camp. And this girl, she was like this. She did not move for 5 minutes. She didn't blink. We didn't even know if she was breathing or not. And I looked at Lori, I said, "We need to go," because it scared me. I'm coming up Southeastern 2 weeks ago, and I see this body on the side of the road. And I wanted to go home. I was tired. I'd been running this one lady around that we got into rehab. I was running around. I was tired. I just want to go home. 7 o'clock at night. And something told me to go back. And I went back. And this girl's laying on her belly, and I see a lighter in her hand. And I said, "Are you okay?" And all I hear is, she was vomiting. And I said, "Are you okay?" And I thought, well, at least she's breathing. So I called 911. And she rolls over and she's like this. Demonic. We have it all around us. The devil is around us. So we're surrounded by the devil and his demons when we're down there preaching the word of God, because we're going after souls. We're going into the devil's snare and we're snatching them out. I mean, I could tell you story after story of people that we've helped, but it's all through God's grace. I've been doing this 16 years, and I keep thinking, well, I know a lot, right? I don't know anything. But it could be somebody's child. It could be your child. I've had people call me from my old church, and they're like, "Kathy, my son's homeless. Will you look for him?" And We do. We look for people. But our thing is we serve a hot meal on Sundays, but we have a church service before it. 5 to 15 minutes. The gospel doesn't take that long, people. It doesn't take that long. Share the gospel with people. They may, you know what? If they turn away from you, guess what? They turned away from him. They turned away from Jesus. But you got to do something because God is holding us accountable. He said, go, go. And we need help with prayers, please, every Sunday. Please pray for us. We need prayers. Clothing, we're good on clothing. We got a building and it's pretty full. We're getting ready for winter coming up. If you want to help, it would really help us a lot if you could maybe buy some gas cards for the ministry van or pay the utilities for a month, which is like $250 for the building. The insurance is, oh, don't get me started on insurance, on the ministry and the van and the building. It's just, we're down there doing the work. Help us to do what God's called us to do. And I thank you very much for letting us come and let me share my heart. And I think we've got a video that I'd like to see. It's an old one. I look a lot skinnier in it. But it's from 2008, and it's about 6 minutes long, but it shows you some of the things that we've done. Thank you.
It was years ago, and I worked downtown at AT&T, 220 North Meridian. So, and I worked nights, and when I'd get off work, I'd have to walk to my car. Never forget this one particular evening. And as I was on my way to the car, this tattered, just torn up older man approached me as I was walking back to the Greyhound. I used to park at the Greyhound, where the Greyhound bus station used to be. And he started muttering to me. And he said something that annoyed me, but I've never forgot the man. And he looked at me and he said, "Sir, I'm Jesus." Now, I know Jesus already came in the flesh and died and rose again, and I tried to tell him it was not Jesus, thinking maybe I'm dealing with the spirit of Antichrist or something like that. But he kept saying it. Now, I went on. I can't remember whether I gave him a little money. You got to be a little careful sometimes because they'll take it and buy their next drink with it. You know the drill there. But now here I am years later thinking of this passage that I read you, and I'm going to read it again because there was some truth in what this man told me. "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink.'" Now this is the king, the God of the universe, saying this. "I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And it goes on where the righteous said, "Well, Lord, when were you ever in prison? And when were you hungry? How could you ever be in that place?" And he said, "As you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." All those people you saw on there, if you minister to them, you're ministering to Jesus himself. He died for those people. What do you think? And I know we're out here in Hendricks County, but I also know the homelessness and stuff is creeping out here. Drug use certainly is. But I'm just, without answering this question, what do you think when you drive through Indy and you see somebody laying out under a bridge? What do you think when you see them standing on a corner with a sign? And I know there's a lot of people in a racket collecting a lot of money on street corners, but not everybody. Do you say, "Look at them disgusting people. How do they get that way?" Or do you think about what may be really going on in their lives? How did they get there? Are they mentally, even mentally sound? Do they get at one time? I've talked to people, just to add to what you're saying, that had good jobs at one time, had families, and the enemy drug them down. They become an addict and lost everything they had, and they're out on the street muttering to the nearest tree because they pretty much lost it. Now, I've been serving Jesus a long time. And I know when he said, "Behold, I make all things new," that he can do it. He can restore the mind. He can restore the body. But I want you to think differently from this point forward when you're driving around and you see, and you really do need wisdom on how to minister to people. Believe me, I got some stories I could sit down and share with you, and you can relate to every one of them. But, you know, before I told them, I said, before I started cleaning fish, because that's what pastors do, I did a lot of this kind of work, and I miss it. I miss it. Mattered not that I got robbed or had knives pulled on me, stuff. Didn't matter. Because we're in a battle for souls. So all I know to do in closing here, and I will, Alex, do you have a little, can you just play the guitar? Because we're going to take the offering up now. And maybe this is even better, because I want you to make a decision. Of course, you support the local church through your tithes and offerings, but there are also baskets on each side of the church. You pray how much goes to this church this morning and how much goes to them. Okay? I know that if the church gives, it's going to come back to us, right? I know the principle, Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure you give out, it will be measured back to you again, and the Lord says even greater. So I'm not going to freak out if we don't get a big offering for church today.